If you count today, you have 2-3 days left for Christmas shopping. Those are the two people that are finished. Are you ready? Would you think back about the Christmas gifts that you've received over the years? Can you look back and remember your very favorite? Think back about, you know, when I was 17 or 10, I got this really cool toy or whatever. But as you get older, a little bit of wisdom sets in and there's a mind shift. And you begin to think about the gifts you've given to other people that just lit up their world for that day. Which is a more favorite memory? For you and I, is it, I hope I get really cool gifts? Or is it, I can't wait to see the faces? Which is it? Can't wait to see the face. That's a grandma talking. My grandson is coming in this afternoon, and I cannot wait. But I realize that he's a little over one, and he's going to not have a clue about the gifts. He's going to play with the boxes. So I've saved a couple big boxes just to give him for Christmas, an empty box. Does that make me a bad grandpa? I don't think so, right? Because it's about the idea. But we believe that it's really fun to give our kids a cool present or gift just to see the joy on their face, right? God agrees with you. Look at this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the heart of Christmas. Look at that first line. For God so loved the world that he gave. This idea that God is a giving God is throughout all of Scripture and pronounced more than ever at this time of year because we celebrate the fact that our God is a giving God. Giving is what he does. Giving is how love expresses itself. Love expresses itself by giving away. It doesn't get selfish and self-consumed. This is the heart. God's not a taker. God's a giver. You know takers and givers, right? It's when we begin to express the Lord in Scripture years ago, when God started having a relationship with the patriarchs like Abraham and Moses and Jacob and all those great people of the Bible, it was a very odd concept in early Mesopotamia because the gods were people that you, or beings that you pleased. Gods were moody. You had to appease them. They would bring fire down from heaven or lightning in those days unless you offered the gods a gift to appease them. Humans were the givers. Gods were the takers. If you didn't offer the God a right sacrifice, then he would be angry, or he'd wake up on the bad side of creation. But our God came and pronounced something completely different, because he's the only real and true God, and the only real and true God is a God of love, and he's a giver. He didn't create you and I so that we would have to give out of some sense of consciousness or some superior religiosity or anything like that. God's not moody. Isn't that good to know? This is the idea from James, kind of helps us understand this idea. James chapter 1 verse 16 says, "Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above." Think about that just for a moment. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. James is addressing the early church, but one of the things he's talking about there is our God's not moody, and you don't have to appease him. He's the giver in this situation. He's the giver in the relationship. He's the one who gives gifts. Everything that you have that is good is ultimately from the hand of a good and loving heavenly Father. The food you had for breakfast, the lunch that you'll have this afternoon, the Christmas meal. He gives us food to sustain us, doesn't he? Take a deep breath. That is a gift from heaven. You and I can't give ourselves air. We can't pump our hearts into existence. We can't make our lives have spirits and souls. That's a gift from the Lord. He gives us music for our ears to enjoy. He gives us friends to share life with and comfort. And He gives us a sunrise. Our home group text, one of our home groups text a few weeks ago about a beautiful sunrise. And I wrote, no one paints like God. It's a gift every morning, isn't it? And every night, sometimes this amazing vast array of colors splashes across the sky. Every good and perfect gift is from where? Not from you, and definitely not from me, but from above, from our God who is a giver. And He's a good giver, isn't He? So each day starts with this heavenly masterpiece painted across the sky, and each night is a reminder that God is just going, I like beauty and I want to share it with you. But God's giving and generosity isn't just relegated just to nature. There's other things. Look at Lamentations 3. Let's read a few of those verses. I remember, this is the prophet talking about the people of Israel in a time of distress, and he says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I remember them and my soul is downcast within me. This is Jeremiah walking through the rubble of the torn down city of Jerusalem, and because of the people have been takers from the Lord, Lord goes, I'm not going to just enable you all the time. And he's walking through, kicking the dust. He goes, I remember them and my soul. He's like, I'm depressed. Yet this I call to my mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And that's what Christmas is all about. It's three more days of Christmas shopping, but it's three more days we remember that the Savior came, because God is a giving God. For God so loved the world that He gave. And every morning, just like the sunrise and every evening like the sunset, there's grace and there's mercy and there's hope available to you and me every single day. God gives every day. And then that's the everyday stuff, right? The everyday food, the everyday air that we breathe, the everyday gravity that holds us all together, all those things. But once in a while, just like Christmas is a special time, one time a year to give special gifts, God kind of did the same thing, almost like the engagement, you know? That one time where you go, this is just a special time. And you have been saving up for this special gift just for the right moment. Like an engagement ring, and then you pop the question. Would you be mine forever? That's a sacred time, isn't it? Luke chapter 2, if you want to follow along, tells us of this special gift that came along one time in history. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Luke throws that in there so we know this is a dated time on the calendar. We know when this special gift happened. Just like many of you, I know the date that Becca and I got engaged. I know the date of our wedding. I even remember. That's pretty cool, huh? But in the same way, Luke is recalling, there's this special day, and this is the time when it happened. And everyone went to their own town to register, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee in Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Christmas has come." He didn't say that. I made that up. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." God was so excited about this gift He was about to give that He sent a whole host, a sky full of angels everywhere. And they're proclaiming, "The gift has come. Go look and see." I remember when we were kids, my room was upstairs, and when I was little, it's like we couldn't wait. But the rule was you couldn't come downstairs till Mom and Dad said, "Okay, it's ready." Because, man, they knew I'd cheat. I wanted to really bad. But we had a really old, creaky stairway, and so that wasn't fair because I'd go, "Oh, not yet." But this was the time, this was the special time, and the angels just burst forth on the scene. And it's like, "It's here, it's time, come on out." It's a Savior, His one, His only Son. Imagine, ladies, on your engagement, if you had the one and only diamond in all of history. What a special gift that would be, huh? The one and only. Or guys, let me relate to you for a second. Imagine if you had that one remote control. Or anything with a motor on it, right? The only one. It would be such a special gift because you had the one and only. And that's what the creation is talking about and trying to express. The one and only Son has showed up on the scene. And angels filled the sky. Christmas giving can be treacherous. With extended family. You ever have that one person in your family that goes, "Man, I hope I get them. I hope they get my name in the family drawing because they're the good gift giver." Or on the other side of that, let's be negative just for a moment, there's that one gift giver you go, "Oh." You ever get something that you cannot use? Right? "Oh, great, it's another one of those. Give Wes another tie." That'd be bad, right? But not God. He's a good gift giver. He's extremely practical, isn't He? Why do we need a Savior? Because we're sinners. No one amen that. So do me a favor. Look to the person on your left and go, "There, that's a sinner." Look to the person on the right. That's a sinner. Now look in between the two. Yeah, that's exactly why we needed this gift. We needed a gift because you all are sinners. And everybody up here. Right? And we needed a practical gift. Sometimes there's nice toys and fun articles or whatever, but sometimes we just need a very practical gift, don't we? And God is so thoughtful. He knows that sinners need a Savior. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him," listen to this line, "shall not perish." You and I know the story all too well of Adam and Eve. They started this whole mess. They were takers. The one thing that wasn't for them, the one gift that wasn't theirs to be had, they take and they reach and they grab something that's not intended for them, and they take a gift that's not for them. And that's the history of mankind, isn't it? When we take, we consume, we become selfish, we become greedy. That is not who we've intended to be when God fashioned us after His likeness. He made us in His likeness, therefore we can have choice. But we can choose. I'm going to be a taker. I'm going to consume. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to grab my life. Or we can be givers. Buying and consuming for yourself can only get us so far, right? Don't believe me? Try giving yourself breath sometime. Try giving yourself heartbeat. Try CPR on yourself. See how that works when you're having a heart attack. We need a Savior outside of us. We need someone else that can give to us that we cannot consume for ourselves. The Bible says he who wants to save his life will what? Will lose it. In other words, will perish. The idea of just being a consumer or being a taker ends up giving you a life that's fruitless and barren. Adam and Eve know so full well when they tried to grab fruit and didn't let it happen. So we're either takers or givers. And even Adam and Eve perished because they became takers, and therefore we will all perish because we've all taken our fair share and more. We needed a Savior. We need a practical gift for us sinners. Even Paul quotes Jesus' words in Acts chapter 20. He says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Blessed means not just better, not just God wants you to, not just you're supposed to give, not because it helps you be morally superior. The idea of blessed is enriched. Enhanced, to be given more. It's actually a better way to live. You can live two ways on this planet. You can live as a taker and consume, or you can live as a giver. Let's try an experiment. Think about this. This is an open hand. This is the posture of giving. Now you have two open hands as the posture of giving. The other posture is this. Mine. I will grab. I will have. I will take. I have a photo of my grandson, and he's got two pieces of food in this hand and some hanging out of his mouth and another in this. And he doesn't know what to do because he's got to put this in his mouth and he's consuming. And he's got hands full and his fist. Try to, after church today, go hug someone with your fist closed. They'll go, "What's wrong with you, dude?" Right? This is an open stance. This is an open hand. This is the posture of giving. This is the posture of take. Whatever's in my hand, it's for you. This is mine. And sometimes we all just hold a fist to the Lord going, "Why? Mine." Survey, Stanford University says they had two test groups. The younger children needed some tutors in this inner city area. So Stanford did a study and said, "Okay, how about we do this? We'll send high school students down to tutor, but it will make it a volunteer. They'll teach them to help them with reading and homework. And so we'll do this," and it was a 20-year study. In this 20 years, they found out in this study that those who were givers, those who served the elementary age school kids, they graduated with better grades, they stayed in school longer, they had more fulfilling and more fruitful lives, they had less teenage pregnancy, and they had less substance abuse. Those who did not volunteer were just the exact opposite. It taught this idea, even as teenagers, that there's this idea that we can be givers and giving can be beneficial to our lives. So they thought, we'll do another study. Shorter study, but they did with older folks. Now you can know why it's shorter, by the way. But nevertheless, those who gave and volunteered had a much higher level of life satisfaction. They had a higher level of mental health. They had less illness, 3 times less illness, less loneliness, less depression, and a lower mortality rate. They lived longer. It is more blessed to give than to receive, and it is life-giving to give. A giver's journey is way different than a taker's journey, isn't it? Let me give you a couple of stories of the taker road. It starts with a simple question. Do you know how to catch a monkey? Now, you didn't think I'd ask that, did you? Well, here in Brazil, I learned a very valuable lesson. I just got back from there last week, and they were talking about, I heard this illustration, so I'm going to use that. Here's how you catch a monkey. Put a jar, fastened to a tree, and then you put something in it the monkey would enjoy. Now, monkey can reach their hand in and out, but when you put something in that they enjoy, they make a fist, and then they can't get it out. Why? Because monkeys cannot let go. Monkey jar. Now, if you and I could rationalize with the monkey, he would say to the monkey, "Monkey, that fruit isn't going to do you any good. Isn't it making you unhappy? It has no benefit of you. You can't eat it. And if you keep hanging on to it, it means capture for you. It means captivity. It means the rest of your days in a cage. But if you let go," nope. I'm glad that worked out. That'd been a bad illustration, wouldn't it? But if you let go, freedom and joy and a sense of relief, let me tell you. And you can go back to community with the other monkey. We know you guys might even get together and invent something like the wheel or something like that. You know what the other species the monkey jar works with? I bet you can guess. There's a story in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 is kind of the idea of a monkey story. It's called the rich young ruler, a human species, right? He goes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "No one's good but the Father in heaven." Let's get that clear first. He's like, "I've been keeping all the rules. I'm a good, respectable guy. I've been living the religious life." And Jesus says, "One more thing you lack, go and sell all you have and give to the poor." He basically says, you got to take your hand out of the monkey jar. And you got to let it go. And you got to have an open palm to the world around you. The next story Jesus tells is in chapter 19 of Luke. It's by a guy named Zacchaeus who had lived his whole life with his hand where? In the monkey jar. He had been greedy, self-absorbed, and self-serving, and he's lived his whole life with his hand in the monkey jar caught until one day Jesus comes along and he pulled his hand out and he began to be generous and be a giver. Two stories, two guys. One had his hand like this. The other had his hand like this. Who do you think had a full and blessed life? I'm going to invite the worship team up this morning, and I want to just invite you to think about this idea of the open fist and the closed fist, of what it means to be a giver, especially this time of year at Christmas. Do me a favor, let's try a real experiment. Do me a favor and let's stand. Here's what I want you to do. Okay? Don't hurt anybody. But do me a favor and just make a tight fist. And just for a few moments, squeeze really hard. You don't have to grimace like I am, but you can. Just squeeze. Now, let go. Which takes more energy? This or this? We feel it physically, but it's also inside of us spiritually and mentally and psychologically. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Jesus explains it in this way. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My desire for you this Christmas is a blessed, unencumbered life. Enriched, enhanced, to be given more life. Maybe you're here today and you maybe have a tight grip on something. Maybe it's your bank account. Maybe it's your esteem. Maybe you have some bitterness in your hand. Maybe you have some unforgiveness that you need to let go of. Maybe you could exchange this gift that you think is so precious to you that really when you find out, I've got my hand in a fist and I'm in the monkey jar and it's captivating me. It keeps me captured and in bondage to that which I don't want to be held in bondage to. The only way to do that is be a giver. To let go and give God your bitterness. It's not a very good gift, is it? Give God your sin. But that's the thing about our parents. I have no expectation of Wellen to bring me anything but time and energy and his messy diapers. But I can't wait. And that's how the Lord is with you. He can't wait. You know the gift that he wants? The one thing he's been waiting on all the time. The one gift that he'd go, I can't imagine what it'd be like. Give it to him. Go ahead. Come on. It's the gift that he's been wanting his whole existence and the reason that he gave. Give him your life. That's a great gift to the Lord. He just loves you. And so today, while the worship team sings, I want to invite you. Don't have so much energy. Come to the Lord, weary and burdened, and he will give you rest. Let go. Maybe you want to give your life to the Lord today. The altar's open. Others can pray with you. Maybe you just have something you've been holding on to, and you realize, I'm stuck in this place. And I got my hand in the monkey jar. Let go and feel the relief. And think what you might be holding in them today. Think about just for a moment what you think is yours. What you've got to hold on to. What you feel might be life-giving. Or something, maybe it's on the opposite. Not necessarily life-giving, but something you just can't let go of. A habit, an attitude, a mindset, a hurt you can't forget. Maybe today you just can now just release that. Just take a moment just to open up your hands. Release that to the Lord and then feel the relief of that. And maybe today the Lord just is reminding us that we can be free. We can be free to get rid of stuff that's not ours to hold on to. And we can have open hands, generous and ready to offer other people a warm and firm handshake, a great embrace, and our lives open and available to the things of your kingdom. Lord, we don't have much. You need nothing. Almost like a dad said, don't get me anything, I just want you home for Christmas. I think that's how you feel about us. You just want us to be in your presence. That's why you gave your one and only son, so that we could be with you, not just at Christmas, but every day will be Christmas, just to be with you and enjoy your presence and enjoy your family forever and ever. Thank you for the gift of your son. Thank you that you're not a selfish, eager, ogre God. That you're benevolent and kind and your compassion is new every day and every good thing is from above. Thank you for the goodness of the folks in this room. Thank you for our good church. Thank you for the good people over there watching our children. Thank you for the kindness of people to greet us at the doors, to serve us, to clean. Thank you for so many good things you've given, the people that spend hours and hours practicing and worshiping just so we can come and experience your presence. Lord, we open up our hands and again invite you to take anything that might be there. Help us to take our hands out of the monkey jar. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.